The right approach to discipline today on the Ultimate Ground Rules.
But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Welcome to The Ultimate Ground Rules, a podcast built specifically to encourage, empower, and strengthen the faith of coaches as they live out their God-given purpose to develop the next generation of leaders. And now, your host, Dave Pritchard.
Hello and welcome to The Ultimate Ground Rules. I am your host, Dave Pritchard. Thank you for taking the time to check out the show today. As always, if you like what you hear, please like, share, and subscribe to the podcast. Additionally, taking the time to leave a review on the podcast provider of your choice goes a long way in making the show visible and helps others to find us. In order to encourage as many coaches as possible, that is key, and you can play a key role. In this week's short devotional, I want to take a brief look at the idea of discipline. There's no doubt that this is one of the more difficult aspects of the coaching profession. If you're like me, it's especially difficult because you may feel that with many of your players, your program provides the only opportunity for real structure and discipline in a young person's life. If that's the case, then how you handle situations can be crucial to the development of a young person athletically and even more so as a human being. Simply put, you play a key role, and it's important to get it right. And while I don't have all the answers, and trust me, I wade through these difficult waters on a daily basis, just as you do, I do think that Scripture gives us some key insight on the issue. Specifically, let's look at what Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20 has to say about the topic. It says, "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." Now, admittedly, this passage is talking about church discipline, and I want to lay out a few disclaimers. Your team is not the church, and it's nowhere near as important as the church. However, in many ways, a team is required to function like a church. Think about the words of Paul in Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. He says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." Paul, he's essentially talking about teamwork here in reference to the church. He says, you have all these individual members, but together they compose the team. Each of them brings something unique and valuable to the table. They have skills, and in order for the church to function as it was intended, all these skills brought by various people are important, and they must work together. Sounds a lot like your team, doesn't it? You've got a lot of guys that bring different skills to the table. For you to win, to maximize your potential, every player is valuable. Paul also spends a good deal of time in the New Testament speaking to church unity. Take, for example, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. He says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Listen, he's begging the church to stay unified. It's required for the church to fulfill its purpose. Sounds a lot like your team, doesn't it? Team chemistry and unity is huge. Without it, your team is destined to go nowhere. So I wanted to point out these comparisons between the church and an athletic team because I think it provides at least a little bit of validity to the idea of Matthew 18 being used to deal with discipline on your team. So let's look at a few basic principles. Matthew 18 tells us to first approach one who sins against us one-on-one. In the coaching profession, I think this principle also applies. While there may be the outlying case, it's usually not productive to initially discipline a player in front of the whole team. And guys, I have to openly admit that I have been guilty of this numerous times. It's easy to do, but typically the easy road is not the best road. Instead, it is in the best interest of the individual player and the team that we approach him or her individually with an issue. This can also be applied to player leadership on your team. The first move of a leader on the team should make it to confront an individual one-on-one, not to make a spectacle of any scenario or any issue. Next, Matthew 18 tells us that if no change is made after this one-on-one approach, we're to approach one who sins against us with a small group. It says two or three witnesses. As a coach, if no adjustment is made after approaching the player one-on-one, this promotes the idea that it's best that the player be addressed at this time by the entire coaching staff. And this also speaks to player leadership too. An out-of-line player is now best approached by a group of his or her teammates. Often I tell my players that there's power in numbers, and I think Scripture backs this up. See, it's very easy for a player who's out of line to dismiss the words of one of his teammates. However, this becomes more difficult as a group of players addresses the issue. See, this raises the seriousness. I really believe that there's power in numbers, and there's a value to teaching that principle to your players. Next, Matthew 18 does tell us that though this may not be a cure to all issues, if the sinful party is not repentant, now the entire church is to address the individual. Now, in our profession, this would imply that now is the time for the entire team to address the individual. Basically, this is a reaffirmation of how the team is to function and that it cannot function as intended if this behavior continues. See, the team is bigger than any one individual. Now remember that the goal with church discipline and in the discipline of players in our program, that goal is to restore the individual, to make the situation right, and therefore allow the church or the team to function as intended. See, we don't discipline out of hate, anger, or with the desire to run someone off. We do so to remedy the situation and provide what is best for both the individual and the team. Ultimately, if no change is willing to be made, Scripture commands that the individual be removed from the church. And in the coaching profession, I think there does come a time where an individual does need to be removed from a team. Now, this is a last resort, but it can become a reality if every other avenue has been pursued to no avail. In the end, coach, your team is not the church, but I do think scriptural principles can apply. As we are required to implement discipline within our programs, I want a few things to stand out. The first is this: very rarely singling a player out in front of his peers works. I'm sure that we're all guilty, but we must work to be better. The second is, as we discipline, remember that the goal is to help the player and the team, not to punish. Now, punishment will at times be necessary, but the goal of that punishment is to help the player through the issue. And third, teach your players the importance of leadership. the importance of dealing with issues individually and, if necessary, corporately. It's their team, and the sooner they understand this, the better that team will be. As a coach, discipline can be difficult. It definitely isn't one of the more attractive parts of our job. However, it is necessary, and if we allow Scripture to shape how we go about discipline, we will have every opportunity to improve the lives of our athletes and preserve team unity. Thanks again for joining us on the show today. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast so we can reach as many coaches as possible with a word of encouragement. Never forget, your job is important. God loves you, and He has a plan for you. Continue to build tomorrow's leaders and stand firm in the faith.